Hey everyone, welcome to Same Boat Huddle. I'm Erin Miller. As always, when we talk about anything health related on this podcast, it is not medical advice. Please talk to your medical professionals before making any changes in your life. Okay, with that said, what I want to talk about today is some tips to make changes in your life, in your lifestyle, to help with your health holistically. So these changes are going to support your body, they're going to support your gut, your hormones, and ultimately your mental health as well. It is not end all be all. This is how I came up with the list, friends. I sat down, jot some note ideas of what do I want to talk about on the podcast. And I was like, oh, it would be really helpful to give some tips of just little changes that you can make in your life. You know, last week we were talking about your mental health being connected to your gut and hormonal health. And then it's like, okay, well, what changes can I make? And that's what I want to talk about today. The way I came up with the list was legit, just sat down and like the first things that came to my head, I jotted down. It's not an exhaustive list. There are so many different things. We are all very bio individual. And what that means is there's not a single protocol that someone could give a person and it would work for everybody. We're snowflakes. We are snowflakes. We all have very different bodies and things going on. So different things will work for different people. And so that's why you need to be your own advocate to be able to say, like, while this works for a lot of people, when I engage in this activity or change, it doesn't feel good. And trust that. Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's supposed to. Nothing's wrong with you. You have a bio-individuality, and it is important to find your own formula. And you're the only one who can do that. So I don't want to like, it's just a little bit of a sidebar. There are so many people out there who teach a lot of incredible things around all the stuff, right? So if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably similar to me where you follow a lot of accounts that share about health, mental health, hormonal health, gut health, all the things. And so many people I see, like, you have to have a niche when you're in that area. Like when you have an expertise and you're sharing things, you have to have a niche and focus on things. What I see, and I've been this person as well, is so many people teach from a place they've been. Like, they've been someone who's had gut issues or hormonal issues or mental health issues. So they feel passionate about sharing the thing that worked for them, of like, this worked for me, it will work for you too. That's not necessarily true. And it's really important to have that filter on when you're taking in information, to recognize that just because that worked for that person doesn't mean it is going to work for me. Because what I see happen is people will get that information, either hire that person or try the thing that they did. Like, maybe it was like this diet, this fad diet, or this type of workout or whatever. And then when it's not working for them, you feel failure, or I should say not working for you. You feel that failure. You feel that shame of like, what's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. I'm speaking to myself too, because I've dealt with this so many times in my life, even recently, of like, something must be wrong with me. I'm not doing it right. I'm an F student kind of feeling. No, you have a bio individual. You have a bio individuality. And just because this set of macros and this type of workout and this gut healing protocol, XYZ, or like eating this way, whatever, worked for them or even a whole bunch of them, if it doesn't work for you, it's because you have a different way that your body works. You're not broken. Nothing's wrong with you. And it's taking that as information. Like, okay, I notice that doesn't seem to be what my body is liking. That's not what it wants. Thanks, body. Thanks for talking to me. Let's figure this out together. So with that said, I'm going to just share a couple of the ideas that came to my mind as things, little things that you could do to begin to feel a little different in your life. And it's a compound effect, right? Think again, it's like 1% better in a day. You will begin to feel changes after some time. It could be 4 weeks, it could be 4 months, it could be 4 years. But when you're consistent, doesn't mean every single day all the time, but like more than not, you're going to begin to experience a change. So notice it. And if the change doesn't feel good, don't do it, period. That's all. Again, anything that I share, if it's medical or, talk to your doctor. And so, you're a responsible adult. Okay, so number one that I wrote down immediately was cortisol. So many of us function on cortisol. It's just pumping out all the time. And our body is just in that constant state of fight or flight. And our sugars are off because like it just wreaks havoc. It destroys our sex hormone balance. It's just crazy. Here are little things you can do to like, are you going to be this perfectly functioning cortisol person? No, I don't know. I don't know if that's possible in America. I'm not going to lie. However, it can get better than it is. And so here are a few things that can really help. So number one, less scrolling on your phone. Listen, I'm not perfect. I'll even share with you. I don't like post anything on TikTok, but I will scroll. I like the algorithm better because it gives me just a whole slew of things that I just find amazing and funny and interesting and intriguing, all that. And you know, it creates a dopamine hit that's unrealistic. And then when you're not scrolling, you don't get the dopamine hit as easily from things. It's a whole mess. And it can be very triggering. And I recently realized like I'm just scrolling way more than I want to be. And I don't feel good. I don't feel good. I'm noticing I feel cranky. I feel blah. So I just straight up deleted that app from my phone. I'll probably put it back on at some point in my life. Mm-hmm. Could be next week. But it's recognizing when it doesn't feel good. And because of how the brain works, I promise you, if you keep that app on your phone, whatever your app is, you will continue to open it because it's a conditioning of behavior. It's very psychological. And you can't beat it. You just can't. It's just the way the brain works. It's not because you don't have good willpower or whatever, like it's just how it works. So you gotta like remove the thing. So that will definitely support less cortisol. Speaking of that, the light from our phones at nighttime is really gonna mess with our brain levels, just the chemicals that are required, like just our normal circadian rhythm, like what's required. It's really going to mess that up. So basically what I see a lot of, I even had this issue and I fixed it. Takes time, but when you feel really, really tired in the morning, like you're hitting the snooze and you can't wake up, that means your cortisol is low in the morning. And then if you get to nighttime and you're like wired and tired, where it's like you feel tired, but it's like you just can't fall asleep because your brain is going, or you're just sitting there with your eyes wide open, you know, because you had a lot of coffee today and you're just like, blah, blah, blah. That is high cortisol at night, and that's opposite of what you want it to be. It should be high in the morning and then taper off. So when we're doing that blue light, so think of if you're a photographer, which you're probably not at this point listening to my podcast, but you'll hear a lot of photographers. So you have golden hour, which is everyone knows golden hour, right? There's a song about it now. After golden hour at night is blue hour. That is when everything, if you notice, like right before it's really dark is when it's blue. In the morning you see it. And that is what triggers your brain to go to sleep. To wake up. What am I talking about? I'm just jabbering. When you wake up, you'll see like right before the sun rises, there's that blue light. That is going to trigger your brain to be waking up, that blue hour. So, it's really important to not give too, and that's very popular lately, right? Like the blue light blocker glasses, that's why. Because we've been learning how much, you know, all of us are on our phones all the time. It's really messing up our brains. There's also, I don't know about Androids, but I know on the iPhone, there's a setting where you can make the light warmer. I have it all the way up to make it like more of an orangey color. Do that. That's going to take away some of the blue. So try and like scroll less on your phone at night for all these reasons. You want consistent sleep. That's really important for your circadian rhythm. So if you're someone, I can be notorious for this. I've really fixed it lately. But like, you know, if during the week you're going to bed at 9:30 and waking up at 6, but then on the weekend you're going to bed at midnight and waking up at 10 or not, I don't know, whatever. It's going to throw your circadian rhythm off. It really messes up your body's ability to like function the way it needs to. So something simple like that, you know, and maybe it's, here's the thing. This is where it's like do 1%. So if you're like, oh, I don't, but I like staying up till midnight. I don't want to go to bed at 9:30 on a Friday night. Okay. Go to bed at 10:30 instead of 12, or like 11 instead of 12, like just make it a little bit different. You know, it doesn't have to be 100%. Just think about that. What else? With the cortisol, you can add in breathing techniques throughout the day. I just find that to be amazing, just pausing and breathing. Like, I'm doing multiple episodes right now recording, and it puts me in like a heightened like adrenaline pumps out. So I can feel like after I'm done recording this episode, I'm going to take a few breaths. I'm just going to sit. My favorite breathing is 479 or 478. I prefer 9, but it's when you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 7, and then breathe out for 8, 9 seconds, whatever, and just continue to do that. Breath is like the number one thing that triggers your brain to be like, oh, we're safe, which means, oh, we don't need to pump out cortisol, right? Really, really simple thing. You can do it anywhere. You can do it anywhere. You can do it at a red light. You can, you know, when you go on a bathroom break during work, take a few breaths before you walk out the stall. It takes seconds. So go ahead and do that. And just removing as many triggers as you can. You know, there are a lot. Like, even you hear in these episodes, like my dog's barking. Last week you heard them, but I'm doing them all at the same time. And, you know, like if it continues, I'm going to have to put them away. I'm going to have to crate them and put them away. And I don't want to have to do that. But like, I can feel it triggering a stress response, and I have to remove that trigger. So there are some triggers we can remove, something simple like that, right? Or like removing an app, or like not watching as much of the news, or whatever it is. But some things we can't. And I know that, but like, focus on the little ones that you can, and don't underestimate small triggers. They can do a lot. Okay, so that's cortisol. Just work on trying to bring some of that cortisol down. You don't have to be perfect. We do need some, but like, let's pull it down a notch. If you're like, Erin, I feel like that's all I live on is cortisol, and it feels impossible. It feels like the biggest mountain to climb. Shoot me a message. Ask me. Be like, do you have additional tips? Yeah, let's talk about it. I'd be happy to connect with you. Okay, so the other thing, and I've mentioned this in a recent episode, is water. We need more water. Don't underestimate what water can do for you. It makes your gut work the right way. It supports like your detox pathways, like all the things. It's so wonderful. However, be sure that you are drinking good water. So I had flubbed up. I couldn't think of the initials. There is a website. It's EWG.com. Go to that website, put in your zip code, and you will see your town. I'm going to pull mine up right now. I think. Yeah. Okay. So, and here's the thing. I even said this to my husband. I was like, every time I turn the water on the shower, the whole bathroom, there's like high ceilings. So I don't know if it just like fills it more. You know that smell when you go into a hotel and you know that there's a pool in the hotel? That's what our bathroom smells like. You know what that is? Chlorine. And chlorine kills stuff. I know. But like, I'm showering in that. That water, like, our skin absorbs things faster than anything. And I can't even stand, it's horrifying to think like what contaminants are in our water. So I see here on EWG.org with my zip code, there are 22 total contaminants in our water. 14 of the 22 exceed EWG health guidelines. So EWG is different. Like, they have like higher guidelines of what is safe water. Bullet points next to that say, legal does not necessarily equal safe. So just because the water passes the quote unquote test doesn't mean it's safe, right? Getting a passing grade from the federal government does not mean the water meets the latest health guidelines. Legal limits for contaminants in tap water have not been updated in almost 20 years. The best way to ensure clean tap water is to keep pollution out of source water in the first place. And then you can even scroll down and it tells you what is in the contaminants that are detected. So like, for instance, chloroform, and it has the potential effect, all of it is cancer. Chloroform is 26 times what the EWG's health guideline is in the water. This one is really high. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Halocyclic acids, 117 times. I wonder if I can find chlorine in here, because that's like all I smell. Insane. It's disgusting. I'm horrified. So we use a a Berkey water filter, which I don't even know if you can get them anymore. I don't know what's happening with them. There are a lot of really good sets. A charcoal filter, that's a really, really good one. It filters out so many things. So that's what we use to clean our drinking water. But remember, like, the water you bathe in is just as bad. So we have a solution coming. I'll share some of that later down the road. But yeah, look it up and feel the feelings that come with that. So just know that all those contaminants are affecting your health. So if you're drinking a gallon of water a day and that's what's in it, that's not cool. And you want to be sure you're not drinking out of plastic. That is, and I'll talk about that in a second. Okay. Another thing, eat breakfast before coffee. At least a couple bites, have something that's really going to affect your sugar levels and your cortisol levels, all of it. Like, you'll be shocked how eating a little bit of breakfast in the morning before you drink your coffee is going to affect how you feel throughout the day. It's pretty cool. Xenoestrogens, you want to remove xenoestrogens, and that is the plastic, like I just talked about. So xenoestrogens are, they're things found in everything, basically, like what we drink out of are, and I talked about toxins in a recent episode. So if you want more about this, go to that. Xenoestrogens are basically found in everything. It's found in the candles you burn, the stuff you put on your face, the stuff you use to wash your body and wash your hair. If it is not non-toxic and you can't pronounce the ingredients on the label of whatever, then there are xenoestrogens. You can count on it. Again, do you have to be perfect? No, it's ridiculous. It's exhausting. It's going to create stress. Don't do that. Just remove as many as you can, or like a couple. Be like, okay, let me switch the water bottle I'm drinking out of and I'll switch to these candles instead. I love Blue Mountain Candle Company here in Pennsylvania. They do ship. I assume they probably ship nationwide. I'm not sure, but they're phenomenal and I pray they don't ever close. I love them. Are they perfect? No, but they are phthalate free and the fragrance is very minimal, but they do smell good and they have a like cotton wick soy candle. So like top notch for people who love candles like me. So just kind of, you know, and consider using, there's a very popular new skincare brand that is like taking over. And it's German, so it follows way different guidelines. The U.S., maybe it's very expensive. I know. That's part of the privilege of not having toxins in your stuff. And I wish it wasn't. Come on, America. Come on, the government. Let's do better. Kind of joking, but not. But there are a lot of it's becoming more popular even at like name brand stores to go and find things that are less toxic than what's next to it. So just, you know, read your labels. Do your research. Do little things at a time. You don't have to do a whole clean out, but just a little bit will go a long way. Balance your plate. So this is huge too. Like when I say eat breakfast in the morning, get protein in. Just have like a protein bar, even though that's processed, way better than not eating anything. Eating something is better than nothing. Trying to balance it does not have to be perfect, but focus on having protein, fiber, carbs, and fat on your plate. Okay. So, and again, it doesn't, you know, have tuna fish on some bread with some greens, done. You could, and maybe you do potatoes or sweet potatoes instead of bread because that's not processed carbs, but like you don't have to be perfect, you know? And that is going to make your body feel so much better to have all the fuel that it needs, and it does not have to be complicated. And even if you eat like, if you're from Philly, Wawa hoagies are delicious, not healthy. But if you have like some solid meat in your hoagie and you have like, you can, I don't know, get some avocado. Can you get avocado on it or whatever? You got all your things there. Get some lettuce, get some peppers. Not perfect, but you have, it's balanced, okay? Don't overcomplicate it, but balance. It's going to make your body feel so much better. You're going to have way less crashes. You're going to have more energy, all of it. Increase your fiber. This is actually going to slow down sugar too. So if you're like, I really want a cupcake, like I did last night, fill yourself with some fiber first, and that's going to slow down the sugar, so it's not going to make you feel so bad. However, just a side note, fiber isn't going to always make you feel good if you have something going on in your gut. So there's something called SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. It's a whole thing. I'm not going to get into it today, but there's a good amount of people who are dealing with that because of how off their stomachs, their guts have been. Fiber is going to make you feel like crap. So if you notice extra fiber, like you eat beans or something and just you feel terrible, listen to your body. This is what I mean by bioindividuality. But increased fiber is going to make you feel phenomenal. It's going to help your bowels if you're not dealing with something that keeps you from being able to deal with fiber. The last thing I thought of was magnesium spray on your feet. A lot of us are deficient in magnesium. That's also like if you're on social media, it's trending, at least in my algorithm, just to get in more magnesium. A lot of people are showing elixirs like with magnesium powder in your drink. I find that I'm just going to share a perfect example of bioindividuality. I had been taking magnesium at night, a pill, recommended to me in a protocol by a functional doctor. I had been noticing my bowels have not been the greatest. They've just been like looser, and we got to talk about poop to talk about our health. And just like, okay, what's going on here? So I decided to pull back on the magnesium just to notice like what happened, because magnesium is going to make you go. It's going to help. Trust me. And I noticed I felt a lot better not taking the magnesium, but I need it because all of us are deficient in it, basically. And I can see through blood work and that's the whole thing. Like I can see that I'm deficient. So I decided to start doing magnesium spray on my feet at night. So much better. I feel so much better. It's going to help your cortisol levels. It's going to help you sleep. So for me and my body, that's working so much better than taking the magnesium. I also have magnesium, like not high levels, but you know, I do have some magnesium in the vitamins that I take, which are amazing. The company is called Three. It is multi-level marketing. It will heal so much of your gut. Again, we're all bioindividual. It's not end all be all, but I'm telling you, these supplements have changed a lot for me. So reach out if you're interested in learning more about them. I swear by them. So anyway, like I know I'm getting magnesium through my mouth, through what I digest, but I'm also adding it to my feet and that'll do wonders. So again, obviously talk to your doctors. Magnesium spray feels like pretty safe, but listen to your body. Like just because so-and-so does a magnesium elixir at night and she feels amazing and she sleeps well. Well, if you're not sleeping well and you're pooping your brains out the next day, sounds like your body doesn't like it. You know what I mean? So like just really pay attention to your own bioindividuality with all of it. Okay, so there's probably a gajillion more things I could share with you, but these are some of the main things. You know what else I'm going to add to this? Move your body. We have, especially if you're around my age, and maybe beyond that, I don't know, because I'm not that age, but we were raised, like anybody who grew up mainly in the 90s, like I'm an 80s baby, like my tween and teen years were the 90s, and we lived with like anorexic models, people calling Britney Spears fat when she wasn't at all, like craziness in media, and like we were taught to exercise to be skinny. And have like, for, you know, it's a general statement, not all of us, but like no one talked about exercising for health. It was always for aesthetics, right? So very often if like a lot of us don't have an exercise practice because it's like too hard and like I'm not losing weight, so I don't feel like it. I want you to try and work a little bit on your mindset around moving, knowing that it is helping your cortisol levels. It's helping your gut work the right way. It's going to help you sleep. It's going to help balance your circadian rhythm, all the things, so many things. It's going to help release really yummy neurotransmitters and chemicals in your brain to help you feel good. Do it for those reasons. And if you end up losing a pound or two, awesome. I'm not. Just going to throw it out there. But I'm not stopping because it's not the main reason I'm doing it. It's because I feel better in my mental health. I feel better, like my gut works better. I feel more balanced in my hormones. That's why I move. So again, don't overcomplicate it. Like if you're someone who's dealing, like the thing that I cringe at the most, I'm just going to throw out there. If you're waking up as a woman, if you're waking up super early and you're working out super hard, you're going to destroy your adrenals, period. No one can escape that. Especially if you're not eating beforehand. Like I feel like I'm crushed when I see this shared on social media because you see it a lot. And a lot of people I know, I should say a good handful of people I know who I've seen do that, you best believe a few months later, they're saying my hormones are destroyed and I had to stop. I'm like, mm-hmm, I know. But it's hard because we live in a world that like pushes you and you see a lot of, I'm not even going to say what kinds of exercises, but like women's bodies are not designed to be like, that's not how you lose weight. And you're making things worse when you work out too hard. Which can be a different conversation. And if you're like, oh, I really want to talk about that more, can you share more? Again, contact me. We can chat about it. But don't overcomplicate it. Go like your movement, quote unquote, could just be walking for 20 minutes three times a week. That's fine. That's good. That's great. Go for it. And then if you might turn into 4 days a week, and then it might turn into like 45 minute walks. You know, doing stretching or yoga, like so many stretching poses help the digestion. It's insane. Like all of it counts. Again, you're not doing it to lose a bunch of weight. So, and that's a different conversation. If you need to lose weight, that's, you know, something we need to consider for like holding on to a lot, but move your body. It does so much for you. And if you're not doing it to lose weight, but you're doing it for your mental health, and so your gut works the right way and you can digest food, you know, doing some good stretches is phenomenal. So don't underestimate how important it is to move your body. Okay, well, let's wrap up. I'm just going to list these again. One, help support your cortisol with little changes. Something's better than nothing. Increase your water intake, but be sure it's good water. Eat a little bit before coffee, and protein's better than carbs or sugar. Watch your xenoestrogens, try and switch things out. Something's better than nothing. Doesn't have to be everything. Try and balance your plates. Doesn't matter if it, like, obviously healthy food is awesome, but if it's your Wawa hoagie, you're good. Just balance it. Increase your fiber, unless you're dealing with digestive issues and it feels like crap. And try magnesium on your feet and move your body. All, like, just a little bit of some of those things are going to just change your life. I swear. Challenge me on it. Do it and be like, I'm going to show you, Erin. And you tell me if it helps you feel good. Okay, we'll stop there. Have an amazing week. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And I will talk to you next time.